Hebrews chapter 11. Eight through ten. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he could not, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Think about Abraham was told by God to leave home. Folks, I'm looking for that same city, amen? A city built by God, where God's people are going to go and live with him forever. Abraham left his country and his home to go to a land God promised to him. God's promised you a land too if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? Abraham was not just looking for a land where he could place his tent and pasture his herds. No, he was looking for a place out of this old sin-sick world. In Genesis 12, 1 through 4, the Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, away from thy father's house, to a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I'll make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. We're talking about looking for a city today. Looking for a city. Most people are looking to get rich here, aren't they? You ever watch that show Shark Tank? Everybody's got some kind of invention they want to get to be a millionaire with. Some people are looking to get rich. Some make a name for themselves here. I used to buy gas from a man in Red Springs many, many years ago. He run a little gas station there in Red Springs. I stopped there to get gas one day. He was a little bit, you know, just a little bit. He said, I never knew that. He said, I always wanted my name in lights. He said, but I didn't know it was going to be at the gas station. People want to make a name for themselves. You know, out in California, they got some of the famous got their names in the sidewalks. Abraham was living by faith. He believed God for more than the here and the now. What about you? You believe God? Are you living for the here and now or for God? Think about it. Abraham lived to serve God, and God led him to the promised land, and we know the story from there. Abraham was looking far beyond this world's sunset. He was looking to the city of God. The Apostle John describes that city that all of God's children are longing for. I've seen some fabulous homes down in Florida and around and about here. But you know, they'll not compare to our home when we get to heaven. I want to read from Revelation 21, verses 10 through 27. And I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible if you want to follow, though, in your King James. The Bible says, so he took me in the spirit to a great and high mountain to show us our home, folks, as believers. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone. Think about our home, how beautiful that's going to be with the glory of God shining with those beautiful stones that's there, the purest stones, purer than those around the stones in Bob's jeweler or Mary's jeweler. He said, like jasper, as clear as crystal, the wall was broad and high with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. When we get to heaven, there's going to be angels standing at the gate. Amen? And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked to me held in his hand a golden measuring stick to measure the city, its gate, and its wall. When he measured it, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height were each 1,400 miles. That's a long ways. You know that? That's half across the United States. Then he measured the walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard. The wall was made of jasper, and the city was pure gold, as clear as glass. The wall of the city was built on a foundation stones inlaid with 12 precious stones. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were made of pearls, each gate from a single pearl. Imagine huge gates to go in and out of that city, and each gate was made out of one pearl. Now, pearls are in oysters. That must be a big oyster, hadn't it? And the main street was pure gold, as clear as glass. I saw no temple there, John wrote, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. He's describing our future home for the bride of Christ. The nations will walk in the light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there's no night there. Won't be any locks either because there's not going to be any evil there. And all the nations will bring their glory, honor into the city. Nothing evil shall be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful adultery and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a description of our future home. You won't ever have to do any repairs. You won't have taxes to pay on it. You won't have to do anything because it's going to be perfect. It's going to be perfect. And many nations of people are going to be there, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. Jesus said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So people from all over the world are going to be saved during this church age that's going to be living in the New Jerusalem with us. From China, from Russia, from India, Asia, Europe, North and South America, Africa. All these nations there's people being saved today. Some nations more than others. But Jesus said they're going to be in that city of gold, our home. In John 10:16, Jesus said, "And the Father knoweth me, even as I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus emphasizes people of various nations, ethnic groups will be in that city. In John 11:51, "And not for that nation only, but that he should also gather together into one the children of God who were scattered abroad." The Lord loves everybody, folks. The Lord wants everybody to be in heaven. Today, God is having the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached around the world. There's few places the gospel is not even going today. And God is inviting all people to the greatest homecoming ever. God's inviting everybody. What I like about homecoming is all the delicious food that's been prepared. The women know how to make you hungry, don't they? I also like to see people I've not seen in years. Oftentimes that happens, especially in larger churches. Kin people, in-laws, church members, people moved away, friends and new faces. We used to have a church homecomings over at Oak Grove when I was growing up. We had our food outside under those big old oak trees next to the cemetery. The mules would be tied up close to the church, and we'd have the food out there on big tables under them big old oak trees over at Oak Grove. We had a good time with the flies and the gnats. Amen. Sometime afterwards, we went inside and we'd sing songs after we'd ate at the homecomings over there. Times has changed. We don't do stuff like that no more, do we? As the years go by one, God's people are leaving us going home. I try to keep a list of all our members who have left us over the years. I keep a list of all our members, and I noticed recently that list is getting longer and longer. They're leaving us feeling sad, but they go where there's no sadness. One by one, they go home. They go home to be with the Lord. Our loved ones wait for us to join them where forever we can enjoy the Savior who loves us. They're on the other side waiting for us to come join them. We're on this side longing to go. Amen. Stop and think about it today. Some of us want to see Mom again. I sure love to see old Mom, my mom, my dad, a sister that lived 24 minutes. I'd like to see what she looks like. Cousins and aunts and uncles and grandmothers and granddads, plus hundreds of friends. Do you ever stop and think about the people you've known throughout your life that's done gone on? A lot of them won't be going home. they're going to miss it. But a lot of them are going to be home, gathered to the Lord. Many are going to that celestial city. Words fail to express how wonderful heaven is going to be, folks. Do you think you're enjoying life now, even though it's got its struggles and problems? Hey, heaven's going to be something else, folks. There's not going to be any struggles and problems. What a grand homecoming is waiting for all of God's people. And like I said, one by one, we're leaving. While one by one, the children of God leave this world of sin and suffering, there's coming a day when suddenly, millions of God's children are going to suddenly disappear. We're going to vanish, fly away to our new home. Faye come and stood in front of my recliner the other day, a couple of days ago. She said, somehow or another, the subject of the trumpet, when the trumpet sounds, she mentioned that. You know what she said about the trumpet? She said, you know, wouldn't it be nice that when you heard the trumpet sound, you could just stand there a while and just enjoy listening to it and then be caught up. Can y'all believe she said, I'd like to just stand there and listen to it a while. In 1 Thessalonians, a great passage that tells us about this time when that trumpet sounds. And that trumpet's for all the saved, which can happen at any time now. It could happen before we get out of this church today. It could happen before I finish this sentence. For the Lord himself, and I think about the personal return of Christ himself to get us, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. People that's been saved since Pentecost, they're going to be the first ones to be brought out of the graves. Just imagine the power of God to take all that DNA that went back into the dust, and their bodies will be reassembled and changed and glorified and brought up, and their soul and spirits coming with Jesus from heaven, and they're going to merge back into that new body. That's going to be something, folks. You think about the wisdom and the power of God to do something like that. That's what's going to happen. And the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, Paul wrote, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then the people that's not died, there's going to be a generation of Christians that don't die. They'll just suddenly be changed, caught up with those that had died, that been made back alive. Now together we're going to meet the Lord. Boy, that's going to be a shouting time, won't it? Folks, this is going to happen. You believe this is going to happen? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Boy, I needed that comfort yesterday when I was going through all this mess out here. The Lord is going to come get us at some point. Think of this. The Lord himself is going to come. Not just an angel or angels, but the Lord. The one that was crucified, that died on the cross, he's going to come himself to get a whole generation of believers in Jesus Christ. Suddenly, without warning, we'll be caught up. There won't be any warning. Won't be any time to get ready if you're not ready. Suddenly, gone. Here's what's going to happen one day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You see, we're in this world. We live day in, day out. We live years. But God's got a great master plan behind all this. He's gathering out of this world over the centuries a people to be his people forever, that can live with him forever, that he can love and enjoy forever. But he's wanting everybody. He's asking for everybody to believe on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so we can all be together forever. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 49, as we have bore the image of the earthly, your earthly body is for this life here. Our earthly body was designed to live in this world. You ever notice the astronauts? They have to take all kind of suits and put them on when they get up so high in the air because their body's not suited to live up there. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. We're going to have a body like the Lord Jesus Christ that will live in heaven. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies we live in wouldn't make it in heaven. They're not designed for that place. These are corruptible bodies we're in. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die. But we shall all, he's talking to believers now. Let's keep it in its context. He's talking to the believers. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're going to get on a new body that's fitted for eternity. Won't be any more diabetes, leukemia, cancer, heart problems, or any other that you can think about. Our new bodies will always be healthy. Won't that be good? Won't have to buy no more medicine. Amen? Amen. Won't have to pay that doctor a visit. Amen? We're going to be living with the great physician. Amen? For this corruptible must put on incorruption. We live in a corrupt body. That's the reason we get sick. It's the reason we're prone to sin. We got a nature that's got to be got rid of. That's the reason this body you and I are living in must be redeemed. Our soul and spirit has already been redeemed, but our body has not been redeemed. Our body will be redeemed at the rapture and made new without a sin nature. It'll be an incorruptible body, praise God. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, we won't die anymore. Immortality, we'll live forever. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Can you imagine all those graves out there in the cemeteries that belong to believers in Jesus Christ? The grave's going to lose because its victims are coming up to live forever. Amen? Amen. You know, I'm kind of like Faye in one respect. I like to stand on the side and see all the Christians being resurrected out. Amen? See those graves burst open. Yeah. The sting of death is sin. The reason we all die, We live in a body of sin. And the strength of sin is the law. The Bible says the wages of death is sin. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brother, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You want something to do? Work for the Lord. Work for the Lord. Do something for the Lord to exalt Him. That'll be a blessing to others. At homecomings, we often see the elderly stooped over with canes, walkers, oxygen tanks, so frail, struggling, their day of departure drawing nigh. Then the next homecoming, they're missing. It's going to happen here if time goes on. It's going to happen here, generation after generation, until that day the trumpet sounds. Let's all of us remember our Christian brothers and sisters are not gone. They're just gone home to wait till we get there. Boy, what a reunion that's going to be, folks. Don't you have some loved ones go on you would just love to see so much? I tell you one better than that. I want to see the one that loved me so much. The one that would die so I could live. Boy, that's going to be something, ain't it? I'm going to have a Baptist fit, sure as the world. Let me talk to you a little bit. Something precious. We read in the book of Genesis of some of those in the Old Testament that was gathered to their people. Listen to this, how precious this sounds. In Genesis 25 and 28, then Abraham gave up the ghost. That means he died. And died in a good old age, the Bible says. He was 175. An old man, full of years, and listen to this. This is what I wanted to point out to you. He was gathered to his people. What does that mean? He went to paradise. That's where they went in the Old Testament, down somewhere in the center of the earth, it seems. On the right side was paradise. On the left side was hell, where the lost went to suffer. But Abraham went to the righteous side. They went down there to wait for Jesus to come and die for the sins of the world. They had to stay there till Jesus died and conquered death. And then it says in Genesis 20, 35 and 29, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. He lived to be 185. He lived a long life, didn't he? You know what happened? He died. But he was gathered to his people. He went to paradise. He got to go to be with Abraham, his father. Isn't that special? Precious? Think about it. And then in Genesis 49:33 it says, and when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet on the bed. Can you just picture that? He's laying propped up on the bed, his feet kind of hanging off. And then he gathers his feet up on his bed. And the Bible says he yields up the ghost and was gathered to his people. He was gathered to Isaac and Abraham, and all the others who were the people of God. And they were in paradise. When Jesus conquered death. He took all those people that's in paradise. He's took them to heaven. They're in heaven now. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But the people that's lost, they're still down there suffering, wanting water. They're wanting somebody to go tell their brothers and sisters and kinfolks they need to be saved. That's what them people in hell are wanting right now. Water, and go tell my kin people so they won't go to this place. When God made man, he made us to be eternal. You're going to live forever. Do you ever stop and think about you going to live forever? That's going to be a long time, isn't it? The Bible says it's going to be an eternal day. Won't be no night. We're going to be just as eternal as God is. Because God breathed his breath. He made us eternal like himself. This is something to think about. There'll never be a time now when you will not be. The question is, where are you going to be at? There's only two places, and you get to choose which one you want. God don't choose for you. God just honors your request. You can go to be live in heaven by believing in Jesus as your Savior, or you can reject Jesus and go to the other place, the other option. Eternal separation from God. Do you want to live with God Almighty, the God that's good? You can. It's up to you to make the choice. To live with God, however, because we are sinners and he is holy, we must be washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that will make us acceptable to God. Nothing else will make us acceptable. Good living won't do it. I think about, from time to time, these police officers. I'm going to just use this as an illustration. I could use many others. Well, what about a police officer or a soldier maybe? They go out and defend the public or our enemies. They face our enemies. And they get killed while they're doing that. And they're pronounced a hero because they got killed defending us. Did you know if they weren't saved, they're not going to go to hell because they're a hero. You got to be saved. You can talk about a hero all you want. That don't make you go to heaven. Heroes don't necessarily go to heaven. You got to be born again. You got to be saved. And it's a noble thing to die serving the public. But that don't qualify for heaven. Only the blood of Jesus Christ qualifies us for heaven. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus. We can only go into the presence of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not your good works. Not your religion. Hell is going to be the most religious place there is. In heaven, there will be no religion. In heaven will be born again people who believed in Jesus Christ. He's not religion. He's a person. 1 Peter 1:2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got to be blood washed, blood bought believers in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. Then you'll qualify for the great homecoming. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. 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 He's gone on to prepare the place. He's been working on it 2,000 years. Can you imagine what something that's been worked on 2,000 years by God Almighty is going to look like? You won't even need a clicker to cut on the TV. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. What a time when all of God's children. This program that God has today is going to come to an end. It's not going to keep going on like it's going on. I believe we're really setting up for the rapture at any time, the way this world is today. To get to that city, you must be looking and preparing because of your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're going to heaven when this life is complete? And you don't have to be 185. You can die at an early age. Like I said, my sister died at 24 minutes. Even between all those people leave this world, the important thing is to be ready. The only way to get ready is asking Jesus to forgive me of my sin, be my Savior, come into my heart, change my life, make me the person you want me to be. And by the grace of God, help me to live for you. If you've never did that, today we invite you to do that. We encourage you to do that. It's our homecoming day. It could be our homegoing day. Who knows? Who knows? But you get to make the decision. No one can make it for you. As we stand together today, we invite you to come to the altar to pray. Come make things right with the Lord today. Need to come pray for somebody that needs salvation today. Lord knows there's people everywhere hurting, people everywhere with needs.